This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners just like you from all over the world. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. Before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. Panos Emporio offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Islands. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers, ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. What if you had everything? What if you were living your dream, and then in a moment, it was all gone? This was the life of NFL star athlete Keith Mitchell. A former linebacker for the New Orleans Saints, Houston Texans, and Jacksonville Jaguars. At the top of his professional game, without warning, his football career suddenly ended after being confronted with a paralyzing tackle that caused a spinal injury, resulting in the agony of early retirement by the young age of 31. They say that a true champion is defined not by his setbacks, but by his ability to recover and come back in life. Today we meet with a true warrior that discovered that true success and fulfillment can be found in a completely different way. Let's talk to the man who saved himself through yoga and meditation. Let's talk to number 59, former linebacker Keith Mitchell, and now yogi and motivational mindfulness coach. Welcome, Keith Mitchell.
Hey, thanks for having me, Peter.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you here. I love having athletes on because usually there's so much behind becoming an athlete. And of course, your journey has been much more than just an athlete. But let's start with Keith Mitchell. Who are you really as a person?
Who is Keith Mitchell? Well, you know, I'm discovering that every single day. And I'm open to that. I'm cool with the unknown of just letting Keith Mitchell evolve in so many different ways. In particular, that one dynamic you mentioning for his healing. And I've been really focusing on ideas and how I can heal myself, which equally equate to working other people to suggest healing for them. So I think it's the medicine that we're here to be, not only just for ourselves, but by being it for ourselves, it rolls out for other people. Yeah.
We're going to talk a lot more about that, of course. But let's start with Keith Mitchell as a kid. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up and why did you want to play football?
Well, I grew up in Texas, and Texas football, Friday Night Lights, is like a big thing. You know, we have, you know, thousands of people in the stands for the football games there. So, you know, to fit in, to be cool and be liked in school, you gotta, you know, that's the thing you gotta do. And I was able to do it well.
Yeah. How old were you when you started?
I was 13. And, you know, the first year, you know, they really put me out there because I was a tall kid and I looked good in pads, but I wasn't effective, you know. So my parents, they, you know, to let them keep me playing, they would ask me when they would pick me up after the games, like, how'd you do? And I'll make up these outrageous stats because I knew if I had told them I was sitting on the bench the whole time, they wouldn't let me continue to play. So I had to make up a lot of stats. It's like, well, I had 20 tackles, I had a touchdown and blah, 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 and really just sat on the bench or, you know, just was out there as a decoy. So, yeah.
I love that. So you look good, but yeah, that you weren't playing effectively.
Yeah.
So how did you become good at football? Because I remember myself doing karate, I wasn't good or effective at all, but I wanted to be good.
Yeah.
So how did your journey, like, when did you realize, okay, I can do this and become pretty good at it?
Well, it's a commitment. You know, it was one of those things. I was raised by a military Pentecostal preacher. So I had been bred to be, my father was very hard, and I grew up in that type of environment, I guess. And that was the tool that you need to play in such a violent game, I guess. For me, it equated when a coach actually, you know, they moved me to defense. And it was a coach who learned me how to turn it on. You know, and turning on is in another way when it comes to football is a level of insanity, or you know, as I know it from a mindfulness practice, it's an accessing of power, and power has a polarity. You can go one way or the other. They call it good or so-called bad, but it's accessing that power, that motor, to like be unstoppable. And when I learned how to access that, game was over.
this is very interesting. How did you learn that, and how old were you at that point?
I was 14. I was 14, and you know, so much of the game is mental. You know, like a lot of times when I go out and talk, I talk about mindfulness and the life. You know, the game that we play in life, and it's the same way. It's your attitude. It's your mindset. You can look at it as a challenge, or you can look at it as an opportunity. But if you look at it as an opportunity, you'll realize it forces us to grow. And so for me in sports, it was, not really knowing, but I was looking at it as an opportunity. And when the opportunity that I found at that moment, when I learned how to access this energy, I was like, well, I want to be recruited by every school in the country to play for them in college.
And you realized that when you were 14?
Yes. Yes.
So your motor, your passion was to get an education, or was it the love of the game of football?
Well, it really was just the unknown. It was more or less not necessarily, I can't say I was thinking all about education. I was thinking it as like my parents, I don't know if they could afford me to pay for me to go to school. And then why can't I get it on my own? And, you know, in this, you know, as I began to progress and have this mindset, you know, I'm sitting here looking at other guys who, you know, they look just like me. They're putting their pads on just like me, and they're getting recruited. Well, if they're getting recruited, why can't I? And I'm like, that's attainable. That was tangible for me. I could touch it. I'm like, that guy is human. You know, sometimes we get these realizations or ideas that people just, you know, they're built different. They're like, they have something different than we all have. But it's not. It's not so. And when I realized that, I'm like, this is mine. I'm having this. And I began to create it. And, you know, the thing that comes with the mindset or putting a goal, or we call it intention out, I mean, you still have to do the work. And there's a lot of work to be done. Yeah. in three-digit, triple-digit climates in Dallas, Texas, I can tell you, there's a lot of work had to be done.
But I love what you're saying with the motor, because there's so many, we can call them Ferraris or Lamborghinis out there just sitting in the garage, right? What I mean, there's so many people that they're waiting to someone to give them that motor. They want to do something, but they might think, no, look at Keith, he is different than me. Mm-hmm. No, you're just a human being, right? Yeah, but how do you see that, and how do you get that motor going? Do you have any tips and ideas for people out there, like they want to be really good at what they do?
Well, you know, it's one of those things, actually identify what you want, write it down. And put it like, you know, we talk about mantras in meditation. Put it in a place where you can see it every day. Put it on your phone. Put it in when you go to the restroom, and you have it on your, you know, on the glass, in the mirror there. Put it in your preference so you can see it. And the more you see it, it becomes repetition. And more through repetition, it becomes more tangible for you. You can envision it. And you can feel it. You can taste it. And you think about it every day. And it calls you. You know, and you have to be bold to like trust and let yourself, you know, be out there. And when I say get out there, also be, you know, okay with failure, coming short, and realizing it doesn't define me coming up short. That means I can just get back on my practice and continue my journey. I think that's really what it equates to, in my opinion.
I love what you're saying. Being an NFL player is probably one of the biggest sports in the world, right? And you are playing in the highest league. Mm-hmm. So you're really, really making it, right?
Right, right.
And Can you just talk about that? And when was the moment you felt that you were empty?
So, you know, my whole time, really, you know, my engagement with people, you know, is more or less, you know, I'm the athlete. You're convinced that you're like something different than everyone else. You know, what brought my life to a realization of all my emptiness is because a lot of times even these emotions come up and we denounce it. We don't acknowledge it. We just kind of sweep it under the rug, so to speak. And for me, when I had my really defining moments is when I injured my neck. I had a spinal contusion. I was in the hospital and I had the homes. I had all the cars and it all really just came to a head because I mean, I have all these cars. I have these homes. I'm isolated to one room. I can't drive the cars. So then what are they for, you know? And then where are the friends? You know, where are they really, you know, when I really need that interaction? You know, so it's like I came to a realization that I was missing a lot of substance. But, you know, regardless of what I was realizing, I believed that I would be well. And when I began to understand conscious breathing, I believe I had a tool that could help me be well. I believe I could contribute to my healing. And in that, I began to manifest because I started to look at how when I was a child and saying I want to be a pro athlete, I realized I was manifesting. And from creating it, I realized possibility exists. Like I can have it, the unthinkable. So that I was convinced that, right? So when I began to manifest and create the realizations of relationships that I wanted to have when I got well, I began to create it as well. So I wanted relationships with substance. I wanted to have family that I actually, they knew me and I knew them on deeper levels, not just surface. We eat and then we say, well, okay, it's time to go, you know, but to be engaged in real conversations with the people that we say we love. And that's what I was envisioning. Yeah.
So interesting to just talk with you and to look at you now, because you seem so at center and peace with yourself. And I was looking through some picture when you were playing football. You don't get me wrong, you look good then too, but you look more aggressive in a way. Now you're more like, wow, yeah. I know who I am.
Yeah.
Can you talk about this journey? When was the first time you meditated? And as a football player, was that weird? The first, it was like, I don't need to do this shit.
Yeah.
Or how did you feel?
Well, for me, again, I learned in the hospital. So it was like one of these things. I had to be open. And I had to realize that my healing was the most important thing. And so like kind of like a plane, you know, trying to take off. And you got all this baggage. And, you know, to really take off because the gas is low, we got to start letting stuff go. So I didn't have time to compromise, well, but this and that, and say, no, I want to hold on to that. No, it was like every moment was vital. And in my mind, my meditation practice, conscious breathing, intentional breathing, realized when I, on the inhale, the diaphragm pushes down, the exhale, it pushes up, and I'm bringing oxygen, nutrition to my lower abdomen, which is creating life force, prana, chi, and it is filling it through my body. That was my main intention. And every second counted. So I didn't have time to wish and wash it in my mind and say, but this. I was focused on solely the mission, and that's flying.
And who taught you this the first time?
Well, the nurse, she actually mentioned to me conscious breathing. Yeah. And she's like, do you know what happens when you breathe? And so a lot of times I start my class like this because we have an intelligence that's happening in us already. Do you know what happens when you breathe? And most of us don't. So when you don't know what happens when you breathe, you're still going to breathe. But what kind of intention can you do when you understand it as a tool? What can happen when you understand it, when life is, you know, giving me something, an obstacle or you know, a challenge even? Now, when I breathe, how can I sustain myself with my breath? Can I, you know, am I going to be reactive or am I going to be more contemplative? So I begin to see the result of breathing like that. And it changes the game for you when you think like that.
Yeah. So how do you feel about, I tell a lot of people where I'm writing about and what I'm talking about, I usually talk about being content and being grateful is not the same as not being able to do new things or grow. Because when I tell a lot of people, yeah, I'm so grateful with my life, but how can you grow then?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people ask me, but I say, it's not the same thing. It's it's actually a blessing to be grateful of what you have or how you look or what you do, but you can still go after other things. What's your opinion about that?
Well, what you'll find, in my opinion, is that a lot of our words that we use, because you understand through mantra and meditation, you know, words, affirmations are powerful. But the problem is, or the situation is, that a lot of our words that we use as our power have been defined for us. And they haven't been defined in our own interpretation or in our own choices. But we're carrying the burden and the pain of the people who continue to carry these words, not knowing. And so now we begin to define these words like you're doing for in gratitude for yourself and your life. Well, you've redefined that word. You made it fit for you. And what a lot of other people are doing is using these words that have been told to them. So they've never made it fit for them. So they're not even living their own existence.
And why do you think that is, that a lot of us are just living a life? We wake up, we go to our job, we go home, fight with our spouse, and then go to sleep, and then just paying our bills. Why do you think there's so many people that are living that life, and why is it not fulfilling?
Well, I mean,
because it's the way we've been told to live, right?
Exactly. It's patterns. You know, you start to see your patterns, and you see this reason why they compare the human being, or you know, to a seed. You know, it's like the discovery is when you go buy, like, say, if you're buying, you want to grow an apple, you know, and you go pick up seeds from the store. Well, the seed doesn't look like on the cover. It shows you what the apple's going to look like. It doesn't show you a picture of what the seed and how it looks right now. So that's really what we are. We're a seed, and we're living the same parallels to the people who created us, our mothers and fathers. So we're living their existence until we begin to create a new way that we want to live. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just being able to acknowledge that, to make choices from that, and decide one way or the other, what do you want?
But what would you say to people that say, all of this is good, but I have bills to pay, I have a job to take care of, I have kids, I have this and that, and it's like, I just don't have time. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them?
Well, time, you know, again, like we just gave you an idea of a meditation can be 30 seconds, you know, and ultimately the time is for you. It's like we have this idea that we want attention from someone else and we need this attention from someone else, but when we can actually give it to ourselves. And then by doing that and creating this relationship that we build for ourselves, it gives us an intuition of when someone else is wanting to do it. Is it really authentic? So we begin to educate ourselves by actually creating the standard for ourselves. You know, and that's pretty powerful. And then you realize, well, I don't need that much attention. I can facilitate myself. And then it gives me another intuition of how to share it with someone else. So now we're building the relationship from the first position, the most important position, and that's with self. And that gives us all the tools, just like we mentioned earlier, of how to share it with the world. It's why we medicate ourselves, and it automatically medicates, you know, the people and the things around us that we want to do.
So what tips would you give to... I'm a victim of this one. Sometimes when I have too much, mm-hmm. I like... start thinking about all the things I have to do and it gets me stressed. What tips can you give someone like me or someone else who gets that?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, I started writing. I started thinking about, you know, things that are like, you know, how I want to express, you know, and I started writing, and sometimes I write on the notes of my phone, just like what I'm feeling, you know. And I started just really thinking about that. But that's really it. I just go slow in the morning. Like, you know, I normally wake up 5:30, 6 a.m. I just start out slow and, you know, just let myself unwind and then start my day. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I have one last question, Keith, okay. that I ask all my guests. And I think it's pretty important because we're all about sharing stories, but we want to help the people that are actually listening to take action in their own life, to go after what they want, mm-hmm. you know? So what would be your best advice or tool or trick that they can use right now after this podcast
okay.
to get started?
Okay. So a tool that they can use to manifest what they want, we'll speak it. You have to speak it, put it into an existence. When you speak it, you put that energy into the world, you know? And you also have to, all, what I have to be mindful of is, because we're the biggest self-sabotagers of self. So you got to realize, and how you put it, you're going to be the one to convince yourself of not attaining it. So you got to trick yourself, really. So not just speak it, write it down. Take a picture of it, of the screenshot. Have it in your phone so you're seeing it everywhere you're going. So it begins to just be and ring in your mind, your attainment, like what you're creating. And particularly, these are going to be things like what you, if it's a relationship that you're interested in, if it's a career or a goal that you want to attain, you know, be it. You have to be it. You know, you have to feel it. You have to live it. It has to be authentic, you know. So, because that's what's going to allow it to sustain. So maybe you incorporate that, and then you can, and see what happens.
I love that. And I even had a friend of mine, he's a world champion in karate. He even changes his password to his like goals, like okay. Just to manifest it.
That's interesting.
It's pretty cool. And like, I remember most of the things that I have written down as goals and dreams, they've happened, you know? Mm-hmm. Because of course you can't just write it down. You have to work for it. Right. But if you're a person that takes steps and work towards something, it will have happened in some form.
Right.
Keith, amazing experience sitting here with yes. A wise man like you. It's been a long journey and you're still very young. Mm-hmm. And I hope to see you in the near future.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you everybody for watching this and listening in. I can truly say that this was an amazing experience to talk to Keith, a person who has done a lot of things, accomplished a lot of things, and changed his life also to something different, something more spiritual. So this was a great conversation here today. If you enjoyed this, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Share this with your friends and family. That's how we grow. Community is something that is very important for me. And so if we can help each other, help other people, it's a fulfillment that will make you more happy. It makes me happy to do this because I know that you guys are watching it and that you actually can create something better for yourself that can make you a little bit more fulfilled, happy, or changing something in your life that you don't enjoy right now. Thank you for that, and thank you, Panos, for sponsoring us. It means the world to us. And talk to you soon. Bye-bye.